What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 37 of Fish and Connoisseur, a movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDonald.
That was meant to be a bit of a spooky, scary skeleton one there. I tried.
That's one of my favorites. I like that one.
Yeah, thank you.
It worked well. And you were able to drop your voice enough at such a young age.
Fuck you so much.
Connor McDuff, we're back just to the batch pad. No girls.
Yeah, here. No chicky babes. See you later, Tracy B. Just me and the David. Shitting with the door open and I don't know.
Other manly stuff.
Fucking men! Fuck men in our spare time.
Hold on.
No girls around.
Hold on, what?
What? Oh, nothing.
Anyway, so as the name may suggest, we did in fact watch a movie. What was that movie this week, Connor McDuff?
Poltergeist! Oh. We saw Poltergeist.
You were real excited for this one, weren't you?
Fuck that shit, man.
For those who don't know, Connor is a little bitch. You don't like the horror film. And I've made him see two this year.
That's it. The last we'll ever see.
Oh, I don't know. Insidious 3 is coming up.
No, I haven't seen the first two. I don't want to fucking watch that shit. Let's not get into that. I don't want to even bring that up right now.
Well, before we get into that, we haven't had really much of a chance over the last few weeks. We just finished up on our massive fucking Mad Max retrospective. Which was actually a lot of good reviews in those. We went back and reviewed all the original Mad Maxes before getting on to Fury Road last week. Each episode was two reviews, so it was quite taxing.
It's a lot of shit
on us because, you know, but because we're men, we stood up and did that along with Tracy B.
Yeah.
But
she's a lady.
She's a lady. But it was a lot of fun. I'm glad we're only reviewing one this week, though. Thank
fucking God.
and it's something of it, like, you know, just a simple horror film too. So it's nothing I had to really break my brain over. But I've been seeing a few trailers over the last few weeks, and there's been two standouts that I want to talk about. If you would like me to jump into that sort of shit,
please do.
Well, one is the Ted 2 trailer.
Yeah, I saw that.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. It looks okay. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, Ted 1 was pretty funny, but A Million Ways to Die in the West was awful. So,
yeah, amen.
I'm kind of really curious as to see what happens. It could go either way, and I don't think I'd be surprised. Like, if it was pretty funny, I'd probably make sense of it and be like, yeah. And then if it was bad, I'd also...
Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I hope it's funny. I really do.
Well, I feel like he's sort of going back to that stupid comedy that he knows. What's his name? Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane. Yeah.
The Family Guy guy. So he's going back to more of a Family Guy comedy rather than... He sort of branched out a little bit with A Million Ways to Die in the West, and it didn't really work.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to watch it, A Million Ways to Die in the West, again and without such expectations, because I might like it a little bit better, because I know a few people who did, but I don't know. I did really like Ted, though. Did you like Ted?
I really enjoyed it. It was not really, like, it was good, but I saw it a second time and didn't really like it the second time, so
yeah, right.
I don't know, maybe it's just the mood I was in, but the first time I saw it, it was good fun.
Well, I feel with this trailer, because it's been out for a few weeks now, and I the first time I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, Ted 2, and I think I was in that same mindset that you're kind of in with The Million Ways to Die in the West. I was like, you know, he really kind of failed there, so I'm not really expecting much. But the more I've seen this trailer and the more I pick up from it, the more I'm laughing at it. Like that bit where Mark Wahlberg throws that fucking biscuit or whatever and lands it in that guy's ass crack, and the guy turns around and he's blind. And Ted says something about, oh, excuse my 5-year-old son.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was really funny.
The way that Mark Wahlberg says, fishy nuggies.
Yeah.
Makes me fucking cry, man. And the bit where Mark Wahlberg knocks over the the thing of semen and it all goes over him. And then Ted...
That's a Family Guy bit, that bit.
Oh, is it?
That's straight from Family Guy. Peter does that exact thing. He knocks over all the cum.
Oh, really? But yeah, yeah. I liked the bit where Ted takes the photo of him and is like, hashtag, grr, Mondays.
Yeah, fucking hell.
So there's a few little gems. And I think one of my favorites also is when, you know, they meet that chick and she's Sam L. Jackson. And she's like, who's that? And he's like...
Oh, that's all right, yeah.
Like, any movie ever, he's the black guy. So I'm definitely I'm warmed up for it now, and I'm quite excited to see what they do with it. Because I can't think of a comedy that's really fucking blown us away. Like Dumb and Dumber 2 was good, but
it was funny. Yeah. I wouldn't rate it as blowing me away at all.
No, not at all. So yeah, pretty excited for that. And on a comedy note, also my favorite comedy drama director, I guess, Judd Apatow's new one, Trainwreck. Have you seen the trailer to that?
Not at all, no.
Man, have a watch of it, because it reminds me a lot of Knocked Up, which is probably...
Oh, wait, it's the one with the Amy Schumer.
Yeah, the blonde chick.
Yeah, no, I'm keen. I really like Amy Schumer. I think she's actually got some talent to her, so
I'm
keen to see.
She has a show on the Comedy Channel or something, doesn't she? Does she have her own show?
I think so. It's called Inside Amy Schumer.
Yeah, that's right. Because I've seen a few episodes of that, and only a few though, because I was kind of like, "Who's this chick? I know her from somewhere." But I kind of like that she's the lead as well, because she's like, she's very, you know, kind of a plain girl, isn't she? And I like that Judd Apatow can play with somebody who looks like, you know, he did it with Seth Rogen, and now he's doing it with like a chick. So I feel like this is like the girl lead of Knocked Up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, This Is 40 did that. Like, he did that with This Is 40, but that was a trash film. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, this one, yeah, it definitely seems like he's going back to his roots, and it looks like it has quite a bit of heart. And it also stars LeBron James. He's in it.
Oh, really?
Which is fucking awesome. Like, so cool.
John Cena's in it at one point.
Yeah, I saw that as well. And he says something about, because somebody calls him Mark Wahlberg, and he turns around and says, Mark Wahlberg, he weighs like 150 pounds. I look like Mark Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg. I kind of stumbled on that delivery, but you know, you get it.
I get the joke.
Yeah, so it's cool that these guys, you know, John Cena and fucking, LeBron James.
It should be good, hey.
Judd Apatow must just be like universally loved to be able to get such random people in his films.
Yeah, in the industry, I feel like, well, it's just very real. He's very raw, Judd Apatow. I think that's why he's appealing, because he's just like, you know what, this is what it's fucking about, and you can fuck off.
Yeah, that's like, right.
I feel like his movies, just his audience, if the audience is like, oh, I don't like that, he'd probably just sit there like, you can get fucked. Like,
do you know who I am? Off. I'm Judd Apatow. Yeah. Yeah.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. He's kind of he brings the good elements of American comedy, but then, like you said, grounds them. Which I really like. Like I'm a huge fan of Judd Apatow. Like, he's probably one of my favorite directors easily.
He knows what's up.
And I didn't mind This Is 40, but I think it's just, again, I'm a bit biased because of him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you been watching anything else other than Mad Max movies over the last
week? I saw the original Poltergeist, actually.
Oh, yes. Well, that's fitting for today's review.
Yeah. How convenient. No, I saw the original Poltergeist. It was an experience, that one. Very Spielberg. Like, when I was watching it, I was like, this is very Spielberg.
Yeah. Well, that's the one. It's directed by Tobe Hooper, who's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy. But it's notoriously known that that basically Spielberg directed it while not being the director. So
there's moments of it where I'm just like, that's like, pretty sure there's a one shot in there that lasts forever, like a real Spielberg shot. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know.
It's because around that time, it reminds me a lot of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Well, that's like, you know, one of Spielberg's bigger, earlier ones. Like, kind of, I think he did it after Jaws. I'm not sure. It was definitely after Jaws, but it was around that time, early 80s.
Yeah.
And this one feels like, Poltergeist feels a lot like Close Encounters. But what did you think of it? Like, we'll do a bit of comparison because I actually watched it again over the weekend as well, so this kind of works. But in terms of like a standalone film, like how did you feel about it?
The original one was pretty cool. Like, I kind of enjoyed the concept and stuff. I thought it was kind of corny, but it was logical, and like I kind of enjoyed that it does things modern films wouldn't normally do. But it's very dated. Like, I was watching it and I was like, this feels dated, just the way it's shot and the value of it. But there are awesome moments like that. The chair stuff is great.
Yeah.
With the fucking chair sliding and the chair moves, she turns around, it's like this giant pyramid. And the clown stuff is awesome. Like, it has these awesome moments in it. It's not a scary film, though. It's not at all. Like, it doesn't feel like a horror film. I don't think it was meant to be. I might be wrong. It feels more like a thriller.
Yeah, I think it was probably a horror film for kids, maybe. Yeah. Like, because it's got that Spielberg feel where it's grounded in a child's world. So it would have been scary in the day, I think. But because we're, you know, so spoiled with, you know, better
with new age stuff.
Yeah, like that was my, when I first watched Poltergeist, I actually didn't really care for it because of that. I kind of got a bit bored with. You know, like the tree outside looks like fucking paper mache, and you know, and then there's like that bit where that guy rips his face off in front of the mirror. Like, I'm sure that would have been fucking horrifying back in the day, but because, you know, we've seen such
work. Yeah, it was kind of corny.
Yeah. So unfortunately it has dated, but I still like the feel of that movie. Like, it has a really cool tone about it. I really believed the family for some reason. Like, I liked that their house was kind of like a really messy family house. Which you don't really see much in movies these days.
Yeah, it felt like a real place, didn't it? Like, that felt like a real house.
Yeah.
I really liked that too. I thought that was cool.
Well, I've been going back and watching a few of the old Jurassic Parks. Not the original. Yeah. I watched the sequels because I just bought a bunch of Jurassic World action figures because, you know, I kind of have to. And I bought some Lego, like Jurassic World Lego. So I was sitting there, I was like, you know what I need to do while I'm making this Lego is watch fucking The Lost World and Jurassic Park 3. And it was good fun. I'm getting real excited for Jurassic World now. So it's only 2 weeks away. Oh my God. But yeah, we'll get to that shit.
So close yet so far.
I know, it's fucking killing me. Like, I'm getting more and more excited about, because I think I've brought this up on the podcast, but the only kind of issue that I'm worried about with Jurassic World is this whole Raptor Squad business. But now that I've actually bought like the action figures of the Raptors, like they're all separate sort of characters, so I'd be interested to see if they play with that in the movie. Like,
I'm not keen for this movie, man. Like, you're so excited and it breaks my heart because I don't have enough of an interest in it, and I don't know what it is. It might be because I'm not like a crazy, like, you know, you're a huge Jurassic Park fan, like beyond belief. You love this franchise, but I don't know what it is about it, man. It might be the trailers just don't do it for me, but I'm just not overly excited. I think, I don't know. Maybe I should buy some toys.
They make everybody happy. Toys are always good. Except then when I look at my bank account and see how much I spent on toys. Good God. All right, well, let's get on to the new Poltergeist film.
Yeah, man, for sure.
It's, you know, well, it's a remake, obviously. We just talked about the original. And I'm actually surprised that it's taken them this long to get on this train, especially with all these remakes happening over, you know, the last few years. Like, the last 10 years, basically, the horror has just been remakes. And I would have thought that, especially with what we just said, that how like dated it is, that this would have been one that could have, you know, benefited from it earlier in the piece. But saying that, even a lot of the other remakes, besides Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, a lot of other stuff that's getting remake isn't really making it to cinemas. So as a horror fan, it was good to see that this is getting like a nation and like it's getting a nationwide release.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because people come to this shit, man. Like I was in a fairly packed cinema. When did you see it?
I saw it last night, actually. It wasn't too busy, but I did see it at 9:20 in 3D on a Sunday.
Yeah, right. Well, I saw it Friday night at 9:30 in 3D, and it wasn't full, but it was probably about half full. And like that to me, I was kind of like, well, it's definitely a Friday, Saturday night sort of flick, you know? And the demographic that's coming to see it are seeing it at those times is like teenagers and, you know, younger people.
That's it.
But anyway, I've got a quick plot summary here that I might bash out.
Oh, be my guest. I conveniently don't have one.
Oh, well, that works out fine, doesn't it?
It does.
You can do next week's. Okay.
Fuck!
It's probably a bit rough because I just smashed it together now. But
hey, that's fine.
But it's something, so let's do this. So, the Bowens, a family of five down on their luck, riddled with financial woes, make the move to an up-and-coming suburb in an attempt to start afresh. The kids quickly realize that something is not right with this house, and youngest daughter Madison starts having conversations with an unseen entity in her bedroom, and the middle child, Griffin, finds a bunch of clown toys in his attic bedroom that are coming alive. After settling in, parents Eric and Amy, who don't believe a word of this supernatural nonsense, leave the kids at home. Yeah, this mumbo jumbo. Leave the kids at home to attend a dinner party where they find out that the neighborhood they now live in was built over a cemetery. Meanwhile, back at the house, while teenager Kendra babysits her younger siblings, things start to get weird. Kendra is picking up some interference while listening to her iPhone and traces a source into the garage. She finds a thick black liquid oozing out from beneath the concrete on the floor. Then all of a sudden, a ghoul reaches out of the liquid and grabs her by the leg. Upstairs, Griffin tells Madison to stay put in her room when the creepy tree outside his bedroom window comes to life and drags him outside. Madison is drawn downstairs to the lounge room TV where she talks to somebody beyond the screen. Motherfuck. They're here. Eric and Amy arrive home to find Griffin struggling with the huge tree outside their house and Madison missing. They can hear her voice but cannot see her anywhere in the house, so they call on the help of paranormal investigators. The investigators rig up the house to monitor any supernatural goings-ons. Goings-ons. The investigators rig up the house to monitor... Fuck! I got this.
Just breathe. I got this. Fine. It's fine.
The investigators rig up the house to monitor any supernatural going-ons, and they figure that there is an entrance to some sort of portal into another world within the wardrobe in Madison's room. And the exit is in the ceiling of their lounge room. Realizing that this is too much for them to handle, the investigators call in the big daddy of the paranormal world, Carrigan Burke, who runs his own Ghost Hunter TV show. Burke gets Little Griffin to fly his drone through the portal, and the camera picks up an eerie cavern that mimics the Bowens house. The major difference being there's like a thousand creepy ghouls hanging around.
Yeah, it's in purgatory or something, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. They eventually see Madison before the drone is smashed. Burke throws a rope through the entry of the portal and it comes out at the other end in the lounge room. Eric is called upon to go retrieve his daughter, but because Griffin believes it is his fault that Madison was taken, the young boy jumps through the portal before his father can. Griffin finds his younger sister, but when he tries to take her, the ghouls get violent. Down in the lounge room, the rope drops, one end of it cut off. Just as you think the kids won't get out, Griffin and Madison drop from the roof, covered in ectoplasm. Ectoplasm. I like that word.
That's a good word.
It is a good word. With Madison safe, victory is on the minds of everybody concerned. Needless to say, the family is not going to stick around in this house and immediately load up the car to leave. But before they can go anywhere, Madison informs them that the house is not clean and the entities are still around. At that moment, something flips their car and smashes it through the front wall back into the lounge room. Madison has fallen out of the car as it comes to a stop, and the rest of the family looks just in time to see something drag Madison back up the stairs. They race to her bedroom just in time to grab her before she is taken back inside the wardrobe. Finally, Burke returns and sacrifices himself, jumping inside the portal to take on the ghouls within. The family get into another car and race away as we see the house explode in a magnificent beam of light in the background. Weeks later, the family are searching for another home. They are accompanied by a real estate agent as they check out one that looks almost identical to their last house.
Hashtag bless.
Bless. The real estate agent says that the place has plenty of closet space, and Eric says that is definitely something they don't need. The family then bails with a smirk on their face as the real estate woman is left puzzled. Credits roll.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. So, I think the best thing about this movie is Sam Rockwell.
The best thing is the dad, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is,
I have to agree there.
Which is a really strange casting for something like this, because usually your horror films just get, you know,
generic.
Yeah, generic people or just TV stars, up and comers, usually like a young girl who's, you know, will go on to be something else eventually, but this is where she has to get a start. Because horror films can kind of bank themselves on their scares. Like, just having the poltergeist name to it, it's going to get sold, you know? People are going to go see it, especially fans or people who are interested in the original. They're going to go see this one because of that and, you know, because they want to get scared. That's what horror films are about. So they kind of skimp on the casting a lot of the time. And I was actually, when I first heard about this, I was like, fuck, Sam Rockwell's in this? Like, that guy's pretty good, man. Like, I really like him. And he definitely brought something else to this movie that you don't get in most horror films. And actually, most of the cast was quite decent, I found. And that kind of adds something more to just what could be just a generic scare fest. Rockwell's so fucking sarcastic throughout it, and it's just great. I really like that.
He was really good in this, but it just felt strange because you could tell like his character had like a lot of sass to him, you know, like he was playing it pretty well, and he didn't really need to. Like, there was no real point of him having that much depth because it never gets developed, I don't think, without the film. It might just, I feel like it's more of like a, hey, Sam Rockwell's in the film. You should get excited for that. You fuck. It's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because he really, well, he's not the lead by any means. The lead is Griffin, isn't it?
Fucking big head.
The little kid. I kind of like it either way. Like, I would have really liked to have seen a film where Sam Rockwell was the lead, because he was easily the best actor on screen. He has the most star power. So it's funny that he's not, but I also like that they've gone with the kid as like in a story base. Like, I think the kid's a really good way to go. But in the original Poltergeist, the dad's kind of the hero, isn't he? So I just assumed that.
Well, not really. The dad's not the hero at all in the original one. The mum would be the hero.
You reckon?
The mum's definitely the protagonist in the original one.
Nah,
the dad just fucks off to, like, the guy's like, I'll get you a house. But the mum's the one that goes into purgatory, and the mum is the one that, like, does everything, and she discovers the ghost first properly. She was definitely the hero in that one, for sure.
I suppose. I feel like the dad kind of did. I think maybe they did things equally in the original. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, she jumps into purgatory. I guess you're right with that. But anyway, well, either way, it was a parent that was a lead. So they've shaken that off, which, like, I don't mind because it... And I almost think that the original might have benefited from having a kid lead because it have, you know, being, like we said before, it's kind of based in a kid's world. So this one kind of takes that way as well. And I like that this little kid is just like a little bitch, like scared of everything. And he kind of has to overcome his shit to save his sister.
Sister, yeah.
Because he feels guilty for her getting taken because he told her to wait, didn't he? So.
Yeah, but I mean, like, as if. One of the biggest things I had a problem with in this film was its, like, logical fallacies, because the first one I kind of really appreciated because there was just moments where the little boy, you know, gets in the cab and he's like, see you later. Like, I'm not staying in this house. There's a scene where, the older sister's barely in it. You know, she's like, all right, fucking see you later, buddy. And she's gone. She's like, I can't stay here. And it's the parents, you know?
Yeah.
And when I watch this one, I understand why they've kept the kids there, because it's like, it you know, he's the protagonist and that more family. It's just, it made no fucking sense to me in this one for them to stay in the house. Like, I didn't understand why they would. I really thought that that one of the strongest parts of the original Poltergeist for me was just how you kind of didn't I never questioned the motives of each character. Like, when the mum goes in to the purgatory, I'm like, okay, I understand that, because she can only hear the mother, like, the whole time it's always the mum communicating with her and stuff. And then, and this one, he goes into purgatory, and there's a moment where the parents are like, what are you doing? And he's like, sorry, I feel bad because I am an 8-year-old child and I left her in the room and now I have to redeem myself. Like, no, as a parent, you would grab your child by the neck and throw him to the back of the room and you're like, you fucking sit down. Or, and then you go in.
Or at the very least, jump in after him.
Yeah, like, as fucking if you go, oh, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense then. Like, it doesn't, ever. And that bit, that was something that really pissed me off, was that, like, you know, that whole notion of
lack of parenting.
Yeah, like, the kid's the hero.
Well, what actually happened in that? Because I was trying, even writing back on the plot scenario, I couldn't remember how Griffin actually got into the world. I remember he jumped because Sam Rockwell was going to go in, wasn't he? He was originally going in.
No, it was the mum, because they were trying to, because this movie hits a lot of the beats of the original one. Like, a lot of it is like identical. It's almost spot on in a lot of ways. But you hear the argument where they're like, because you find out that something's got happening and they can't see the drones fucked. And they start freaking out. They think their daughter's being taken. So the mum and dad are having an argument. And then...
Oh, they're still in the living room, though, aren't they?
And then they're like, Griffin's upstairs!
That's right, yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, shit. Well, I guess you can go. And then, you know, he saves the day and gets the daughter. And in what was, like, just... That scene was not frightening. Like... That last sequence was not a scary sequence at all.
Well, before we get to that sequence, I want to talk about you know, maybe some of the reasons why the kids are still around and stuff like that. Which is another issue I want to bring up is you know, this family is dead fucking poor. They're you know, he's just been laid off from his job at John Deere or wherever the fuck he worked.
Yeah, some mower or some shit.
Yeah, and he you know, he's going to the shop and he's maxing out the credit cards and all that sort of thing. So I guess the only reason I could say for why the kids don't leave the house is that they just have nowhere else to send them and they can't afford to put them up anywhere and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It would have been nice to have that mentioned. I didn't actually even really think about it until you brought it up, and it's a valid issue though. But I do like that the kids are there, because having the kids there raises the stakes. But as long as there's a reason for why they haven't left, because you're absolutely right about the original, like, of course you would just send the kids away, send them to your parents or something.
Yeah, like, as if you wouldn't. And even in this one, they're like, it's not like it's happened and they've gone, oh, fuck, and they've called up the you know, paranormal dudes and they're over and it's, like, just happening really quick. They're acting as if, like, they've been there for days, like, you know, that this has been happening for days and that's why... And the kids are still there. Like, there's no reason you would keep your kids there at all. You would not have them stay in the house.
Well, if they have no money, there's a reason for that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that I'm not really pissed off at it, because I like that the kids are there for, you know, just the film. But a logical sense, I know what you're saying. But let's, like, just in terms of them being broke, like, how the fuck did they afford a house like that though? You know, where's that logic?
Yeah, I don't know, man. And, like, the whole poor thing lasts 5 seconds and then it's gone. Like, well, there's it has no relevance.
Yeah, they sort of try to build up their, you know, the parents' careers a little bit, because they even, you know, they go to that dinner party and he goes to that dinner party to try and get work. And it's said a lot that she's a writer and has quit work so, you know, she can write. But... what relevance does that really have to anything, except the fact that there's a little bit of stress on the family? That it, I don't really feel that there's stress on the family. Like, it's not really breaking and down anything. Like,
but it doesn't push the story in any direction. It's just there. Like, why do I give a shit?
Well, I wonder if they were, you know, because sometimes like bad energy, like stress and all that sort of shit can, you know, supposedly attract these fucking entities and spirits and shit like that. So if they played it that card, I would have been fine with it, but there's just really no relevance to it at all. And like, how the hell, why are they even moving if he's like been laid off? Like, if he was moving to go to a new job, that would make sense. But like, you don't move when you have no job.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't give a shit. Like, I never gave a fuck because it just, like, once shit starts going down, the spooky, scary skeletons start popping out. Mm. Like, I didn't care. I was like, okay.
Yeah, we're on to this now. But saying that, I actually did like all these characters. Like, I think that the cast was really, really well cast. And I think they all had their own little stories going on, even if they didn't go anywhere. They at least took some time to build, you know, at least the most important characters. Yeah. Like, even Kendra, like the teenager, like, I quite liked her in this. She was just such a bitch, but you could tell she still loved her family, you know, loved her siblings and stuff like that. But she was like a typical teenager, you know, when her phone busts, she's like, her life's over, all that sort of
thing. Yeah, and she was such a fucking asshole.
So like, I liked that, and I liked, I actually really liked the little girl. I thought Madison, the chick who played Madison, she was quite good.
She was fucking creepy, man. She was a creepy little chick. Yeah. She was meant to be.
Yeah. Apparently, that was her first feature. I had seen her in another movie that must have just got released earlier. It was Jingle All the Way 2. I may have spoke about that in one of our Christmas specials. She was the little girl in that one, and she's definitely a different character in that one. She's just not creepy in that one, I must say. She's still just
she's fucking terrifying in this one.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to talk about the ghouls? Do you want to talk like the other world and all that sort of shit? Like, we talked about how he goes into the other world.
I mean, like, why don't we just, let's just start with how the movie kind of kicks off, like with them. Like, her phone's going funky and shit starts getting real.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, it is the clown scene, isn't it? There's like the
everything kind of happens at once. Yeah, everything's kind of, it all kicks off at the same time.
Well, I find it funny that they put Griffin, you know, the kid who is scared of everything, in the most fucking terrifying bedroom.
Like, room, yeah.
Man, I would be scared sleeping in that room. That tree was horrifying, you know what I mean? Like, imagine looking up at that as you're trying to go to sleep. Like,
why wouldn't you throw out all those clowns? Is the other question. Like, as a parent, I'd be like,
Were they in there, or were they in like some little secret door? I thought they were in like
They were like in a secret door, but then they found them all. Like, they were like, oh fuck, all these clowns.
Oh yeah.
And so
right. Absolutely, he'd be like, fuck these clowns though. Especially if he got scared by the clowns. Like, if a clown doll started moving around a bedroom, I probably would never go in that room ever again. That's
it.
That's just, you know, survival techniques.
It's right fucking there. Terrifying. But the clown stuff, like, at this point, I saw this movie with Mel, I saw it with Storm and a friend of mine, Shane, and his missus. We're all giant pussies.
Yeah.
So when this started happening, we were like swearing and like getting really nervous. We're like, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. Like, I really do not cope well in scary films, but it was great fun. Like, it was so great. We're all sitting there fucking terrified. And the clown bit didn't really get me because I watched the trailer before I saw the film, and everything that happens in this film is in the trailer. So I was a little disappointed.
Was it this first scene that, you know, he looks between his legs and the clown jumps at him? Was that scene?
Yeah.
Was that in the first scene? Because that actually got me. I quite liked that jump. I knew it. I could see it coming. And you saw it in 3D as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Fuck,
man.
Like, that clown, like, coming out of the screen, like, I thought that was really well done. And I liked that he was, like, looking through his legs. I don't know. That seems like I just haven't really seen that.
I thought that was excellent. The clown bit fucking threw me. Like, I was like, oh, no, 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 no. and the fucking pull cord, like the rip cord.
Yeah, that's right, because it goes through his legs, eh? It goes through his legs.
But there's actually a moment before, this is probably the second scariest part, the second scariest part in the whole film is before all this, where he's walking up the stairs and it's just during the daytime and a ball, the baseball, just rolls out.
And he thinks
it was Sarah, whatever her name, or Maddie, I don't know what her name is. Yeah. So he goes into the room and he turns around and all of his comics
in like a castle or something they've
built
up.
And they fucking explode.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Storm like fucking flew out of her chair. I was like, ah, like I didn't expect it. I was like, God damn it, man. I fucking hate scary movies. Like, I can't fucking stand this shit. We were there losing our minds. I was hiding behind my popcorn. And then, the clown bit happens, and I was like, oh, God. But that's not the bit that got me. The bit that got me was the fucking teenage daughter with the iPhone. That got me so good. I was losing my shit. Like, because the noise the iPhone was making was just this repetitive, like, I don't know what it was. It was just this repetitive, like, mumble, and it was freaking me out because I kept thinking of Silent Hill.
Yeah.
So I can play fuck horror movies, but I can play horror games. And all I was thinking was, this is like Silent Hill.
The radio gets squelchier as you get close to a monster. Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, oh, fuck, what's going to happen? She gets into the room, the floor starts cracking. And I was like, okay. And then the black sludge comes out and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I wasn't scared. I was like, oh,
what
fuck,
is that?
Okay.
Yeah, gross. Yeah.
And then she fucking turns around and it's just that fucking demon there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I fucking lost it. Like, that was so full on. I don't know. It just, fuck face. Like, when it comes to that shit, like, demon children just fuck me up, man.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just this demon with, like, long hair.
She's all sludgy as well, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah.
I was like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, no, that was my favorite part of the film as well. Like, there's something about going into like a garage, like, because we don't really have attics and, basements like you see in a lot of so this, I can relate to going into the creepy garage, and the way that thing grabbed her leg as well, like, I really liked that. I really liked the way that they played with those ghouls and were bringing them into their world through that way. Like, she, you know what, like, I like when she like just kind of pulls the concrete away and it's kind of, it just sludges out and she's like, oh, yuck. Yeah. And then there's a big scare. Like, I really, yeah, I, that's my favorite part of the film.
I think a lot of, like, that was definitely my favorite part as well, was those scares.
Yeah.
And like, once the tree grabs the kid, it's kind of, it kind of simmers down. But the film does, like, those moments were really on point. Like, I was like, that's fucking good. Like, that was really good. And the other bit I loved was with Maddie, I think. Is it Maddie?
Yeah, Madison.
When she's got her hands on the TV and the hands on the other side,
fucking
mint.
Because that was the one thing I was like, how are they going to do that? Because they have to do that shot. That's the iconic shot from the original. And it's like, now we don't, it's not as much of the, the white noise and all that sort of business going on.
Yeah.
Because I like in the original how, like, there was a point in time with TV where it just ended at night. TV just turned off.
Yeah.
For a few hours. And like, we don't have that obviously now. But I was like, how are they going to top that shot? And I really like the way they did that. Cause you never really know what's grabbing her and in the original, you don't know what's talking to her. And this one, you just get the impression that it's just a ton of fucking bad things on the other side of that portal or whatever. So I liked it at that point. I actually really liked that entire sequence. And I think one thing that really brought it home was that whole, the parents are out and the baby, you're just getting babysat. So it's just them by themselves.
Yeah, that's great.
They have no adults to go to. I like that Griffin tries to sort of man up a little bit, but then gets taken by the tree. Like you said, that bit simmers down. I did quite like it when it first took him. Some of the CGI of the tree was a bit dodgy, though. I thought they probably could have shot that better.
The tree wasn't scary, though. Like, that was my fear. Like, in the first one, the tree is, like, fucking eating him. Like, he fucking almost gets eaten in the tree. And this one, the tree's just kind of shaking him a little bit. I was really keen for like him to like this tree to try and tear him apart.
Well, that's like because yeah, it's not until the parents come home that like you see what's happening because he just kind of gets dragged out of the window and I was like, just being dangled. Yeah, and I was like, what is the tree's mission here?
Yeah.
But then like I realized that it's working in cahoots with all these fucking ghouls. It's getting him away from Madison so they can take her. But still, it would have been much better if the parents got there just in time to see him get pulled out the window. And instead of just like just hanging him up there, because it just starts to remind me of like that is it the Whomping Willow in Harry Potter?
Exactly.
It's just that, like, you know, you knew the Whomping Willow was never gonna kill Harry, you know. And I knew that
these ghosts as well, they're not very mean. Like, they're never really trying to do much. They're just trying to spook you. You know, they're just a little spooky. They're not really trying to like kill anyone or do anything except for the little girl. They're just like, hey man, we just want to get home. That's why they're using it, to guide him into the light, you know. But like, they're never really trying to kill any of the other family. Like, I never really felt threatened for any of them.
Yeah, just, you're right. You're right.
Just kind of there for the sake of like being there, you know. And I kind of realized that in that scene. It's such a fucking good scene, though, with the drill. It's probably the next spooky bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so sick, man.
It was so satisfying as well, because that guy was a fuckwit.
Yeah, he was a dickhead.
I'm glad he got what was coming.
I love that. It was brilliant filmmaking, that whole drill scene where it's just him and the drill's piercing through and he's losing his mind. He's screaming as it's getting closer.
Yeah.
And there is a moment where you're like, oh my fucking God, this guy's going to get drilled in the head. Like, he's going to die, you know? And he doesn't. And I was like, why wouldn't he? Like, why wouldn't you die? Or why wouldn't these ghosts want to do that?
Mm.
And I understand that it's them fucking with him, because you know, it's like a nightmare, which is like in the first one as well.
Yeah, the guy ripping his face off is.
Yeah, but I mean, like, why wouldn't you? They're not, like, these ghosts are clearly fucking assholes. Like, just come on.
Well, I think that's another issue that I want to bring up is that they're not really what I know a poltergeist to be, because poltergeists can either be really, they can kind of come across as jokers. They're just there to scare you and move shit around the room and do that sort of thing. Or they can be like fully violent and they, you know, they're going to go the opposite way. They will fucking kill you.
And they're very in between in this one.
Yeah, they don't know. It's, yeah, because they don't really set them up as jokers by any mean. They definitely go the straight horror route, which I appreciate, because I would have liked it to go on a little bit more. But really, what is their purpose? Like, even what if Madison takes them to the light, so to speak, does she die? Like, how? Well, I don't like what works.
She goes to heaven, pretty much. I think is the what happens. Like, she goes and she's gone.
Yeah,
the whole thing. But like in the first one, I mean, the original Poltergeist, it was just believable. You know, like, these ghosts were never. They weren't nasty, really. Like, there were moments where they were fucking spooky, but in the entirety of the first one, you knew their goal was to get this girl, and they were, like, moving furniture and shit, you know? There's moments where they're moving the chairs and they're rolling, and she can slide across the room and stuff and that sort of thing. And then it kind of, like, they just felt like, yeah, they felt like they were just trying to scare the shit out of them to get them away from the girl. There's never a moment where you felt threatened in the first one, but you never really cared, except when the tree tried to eat the kid.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's kind of like they're just there to fuck with you, but they're not. Like, it's, they don't know, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where they want to go.
Well, it's a little muddy, isn't it? But even, we're probably jumping ahead a bit, but like when they do go into the ghoul world, like the purgatory or whatever it is, like, he's just kind of cruising about and she's cruising about. Like, there's a lot of talk of her not being able to do anything. You know, they're not letting her leave. They're not letting her say things. But like, when they're actually in there, it's only really when the drone gets smashed. I can't remember what happens to Griffin. I just remember him just falling out of the roof.
He just, well, nothing happens. Like, that was the issue. He goes in, and these ghosts have been, like, individually fucking with each character in this movie. And now he's in their world, and he's just walking by them. They're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Like, wouldn't they fucking, like, tear him apart immediately or something, or be like, get the fuck out? And then she's like, they won't let me leave, and they just leave. Like, they just go.
Yeah.
Like, it's closing. See you guys. Well, have a good one.
Well, the rope gets torn up, doesn't it? First. So you get some sort of like, oh shit. Because I couldn't remember it also what happens at that point. Like, do we go back into the world and you see, you know, Griffin grab her? Or was it them just like, oh fuck, the rope? And then they look up and the kids fall out? Is that, how did that go down? I can't remember.
They got out. It's like Griffin has grabbed the rope. Griffin saved the day, was the whole thing.
But he didn't, the rope got taken out, didn't it?
I don't know. Oh, it doesn't fucking matter. I didn't care. Like,
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And that is super disappointing, because that world, you're built up to think that this is the most horrific thing. Like, he's in a fucking horror world. And, you know, how the hell is he going to get her out of there with the rope gone? And then he just kind of does.
I kind of knew, like, once they were out too, that the next beat would be that you think everything's fine and then it's not. That really wasn't a shock either.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad it was, though. We'll get to that, but first I want to talk about the big daddy poltergeist hunter guy.
Yeah, the Irish dude.
Yeah. He was kind of good, but kind of not at the same time. Like, what was your feelings on him?
I just thought that whole aspect really took away from the sort of helplessness that you're meant to feel in this sort of film. I mean, like, I'm not a horror buff at all. And by not a horror buff, I mean I'm a giant pussy. But, like, as soon as he comes into play, I wasn't really scared. Like, there was no fear. Because now you have a professional, you know. There's a professional there, and he's good at it. And he's good at it during it as well. And he just, like, calms the whole... Like, I just felt like he just calmed the audience down. And he's like, this is what we have to do, and this is how we do it. And it's like, well, I don't really want to know how to do it, because now I know everything's going to be okay. Acting-wise, he was fine, but his character was too much. Like, it was just too good. It would have been better if he comes in and he's like, oh, fuck. Like, holy shit. I don't fucking know what I'm doing. This is the worst I've ever seen it, you know? Like, the stakes weren't as high. He's just kind of there.
Well, I feel like he kind of did, but they didn't really play on it as much as they should have. I kind of feel the opposite way. Was when he came into it, I was like, shit, it's that bad that they need to call in this guy. And then when he's there, he's kind of got a bit of grip on it, but you sort of see that he's not 100% sure of how to beat this thing. But then it's all disappointing to me, because even with that sliver of build up, it's just like, oh, so after all that, all we needed to do was just send somebody in and grab her.
Yeah, that's it.
And then they would fall out of the ceiling. Like, you know, like, it's just, a build up to nothing. I didn't mind him as a character. I thought he was kind of fun. And I liked that he had that stupid ghost show and the girl was like a fan of his. Kendra was a fan. Like, I liked that element. But to me, they're sort of playing on some beats from other horror films and other horror remakes, like the remake of Fright Night. Fright Night. The movie's about this vampire that lives next door to this kid, and there's a vampire hunter who has his own TV show that this kid loves, and they end up calling him to come in, and it turns out that he's like a real vampire hunter, I think, in the original, but in the remake he's kind of a fake, but he has all these like books that have the information in it because he's just collected them because he thought they looked cool. So it's kind of, I felt like that was like using the same sort of vessel that those movies were using. Whereas, you know, in the original, it's that little lady who comes in.
Kim Jong-il, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I better credit that joke. That's a Melanie joke there. Oh, she said it to me last night and I couldn't stop laughing. I thought it was great.
Well played, Mel. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, I feel that if it was someone like that, like just like some little old lady that just knew a little bit about this shit that was passed down, I would have kind of maybe preferred that. Like, I just feel like this thing's been done before. And even the going into the other world to bring them back, like, Insidious does that now. Like, you haven't seen it, but, like, that's a thing that Insidious does. And I know this is coming from the original, but, like, they don't... The way they sort of play on it in this film is very Insidious-y.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's probably just I've seen way too many horror films, so a lot of them are starting to mesh into each other, but it just could have been a lot stronger. His character could have been a lot better had there been some sort of a bigger threat. Yeah.
I totally agree. I think it could have been much better, to be honest. It was not threatening enough at all.
Well, you know, I would have liked to had the poltergeist do more shit, like what they do when they're trying to leave. When they flip the fucking car and smash it through a wall. Like, where was that shit before?
Exactly. They're like, no, we're not fucking around anymore. We're mad. I
really liked that, though. I thought that was really cool, that scene. I was in this, like, bit, like you said, I was like, there has to be something else that's going to happen because they can't just end on him just going in and grabbing her. So that was quite cool. I really liked that. It was fucking full on, like the car flipping and all that, and just going through a wall. Like,
I didn't like, though, the whole like, oh, your daughter has a gift. You know how they make it out that she's got this gift, and it's like, by the way, you know, your daughter has a gift. I really didn't like that. I was like, why? Like, I thought the whole thing was that the reason the ghosts want the daughter is because she's like she's got a pure mind, like she's a child. That's why she's going after the daughter.
Well, I remember them saying that, but I can't remember the gift thing. What did they? Said that?
They're like, oh, I think your daughter. The guy's like, I think your daughter has a gift that she like she might be able to talk to ghosts. And I'm like,
that's right, because I remember thinking, oh, who's this fucking Sixth Sense shit?
Like, why would you bring that in? Like, I don't want to feel like. These people, like, there's people out there who can speak to spooky, scary skeletons. I just want to know that this fucking person, like, this little girl, is fucked, you know?
It can happen to anyone, it makes it more relatable. Like, it could happen to you or me.
It's just moments like that that totally took away from the kind of the helplessness I was meant to feel. Because after the stuff we liked happened, like, you know, the stuff we were talking about before, after that happens, this film dwindles. Like, it's just nothing. There's nothing spooky about it.
Well, I even like doing the summary, all I can remember is just a lot of them standing in front of the wardrobe and lights and shit coming out of it and wind blowing in their face and not much going on, like just them talking a lot and I can't remember it, which is not a good thing.
I don't know what happened in this movie. Podcast done. I agree, though. I totally get where you're coming from. And I mean, like, the film falls flat, and so does my opinion, because I don't really have anything to say after that bit. It just was kind of weak, you know?
Like, I was saying that I do like from when shit starts to get real again, when the car gets flipped and she gets dragged up the stairs. Like, I quite liked that. I thought that was cool. And I liked when they do go back there and... I can't remember. Is she's getting sucked in, and the family does like a fucking family chain, and you know they're grabbing each other by the pants and holding each other back, sort of thing. Who was getting pulled in there? Was that was Madison, right? You know, right at the end, and then Burke jumps in.
Oh yeah, that was Madison, and she's like, "Daddy, mommy, something's wrong," and she gets pulled up the stairs.
Yeah,
I wish that shot wasn't upside down. Oh
really? God. See, I liked that. I thought that was cool.
I like the shot, though. That was a great shot. Like, just her, like, fucking...
She gets fucking yanked, too. Holy shit.
But this stuff feels dumb. Like, I didn't even watch horror films, and, like, a lot of what I'm seeing is... I feel like it's just very 21st century. Like, it's all about ghosts, and you can't see the bad guy. You know what I mean? Is that wrong for me to think that? My knowledge is pretty much trailers and, like, snippets of things, but it just feels dumb, that sort of thing, that sort of shot.
Feels done or dumb?
Done, D-O-N-E.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, for sure. It's that's the Paranormal Activity thing. Absolutely. I still prefer not seeing the monster as much, and a lot of movies are going that way, which I really like. I feel like, because exactly what we said before, once we got into the into the ghoul's world and you just seen a bunch of them and realize that they're not really that threatening, it loses all that stigma that we had just being seeing that demon bitch in the fucking in the garage and having a hand grab it and like a tree grabbing people, and you know, all that sort of stuff just goes away when you see what they are. And they and maybe they played their card too early, you know, by going into purgatory before the finale, and by not really doing anything in purgatory, obviously. Because, you know, we already know that those things are there and they're the ones that are grabbing her, I guess. But, like, it's they don't really explain it either. Like, they don't go into, like, are these entities working together to just form one invisible hand that goes out and grabs her? Or, you know,
how... Yeah, it's all a bit fuddly, isn't it? It's a bit fiddly, that one.
But that is a staple of some ghosts. Horrors though, like your paranormal activities, like we're up to nearly fucking six and you still don't even know what Toby is the bad entity, like you never see him.
Yeah, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about right now, so
but yeah, like I said, I didn't mind that last scene. I'm glad that they did that, and it was kind of cool that Burke sort of sacrifices himself, but it was also like, I don't know, because then you see the
power. He's alive at the end.
Is he?
Yeah, after the credits, he comes in. He's alive.
Oh, that's right. What happened after the credits again?
He just, like, he's doing a show, he's at one of his shows, and then his ex-wife comes into frame, and it's like they're doing it together
that's
now.
That's right, yeah, so he doesn't even die. But, like, to me, it should have been, like, that should have been a plot where the dad sacrifices himself if the dad was built up as a bigger character, you know, and then he had to sacrifice himself to save his family. Because, like, we didn't really get enough time with Burke or care enough about him to that to be really that big a deal. But I did like when the house blew up. That was pretty cool. But that's one thing also that it goes back to, like, you can see the power of these things. Why weren't they using it? They can flip a car and they can blow up a house, like, in a final battle to the death. And I know that's probably some sort of, like, that purgatory, like, imploding or something like that. But still, like, there's some raw power in there and they're not really exploiting it.
No, it feels weak. Like, it just feels fucking weak. As soon as you have all the... it was so cool for, like, 20 minutes. And, like, Shane was like, man, fuck this shit. Like, my friend was like, he couldn't handle it. And he was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. And then we could watch it. And I didn't want that. I wanted to be terrified. Because, I mean, if I've made such a fucking big hoo-ha about seeing this film with all my friends, so I don't cry myself to sleep. And then, like, I fucking am not crying myself to sleep. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest. I want to be scared. I wanted to be more scared.
Yeah, right. Well, give us your final thoughts on it then.
Look, honestly, I think it did everything the first one did. Like, it hit all the beats, but the first one wasn't that great of a film to begin with anyway. And the things it did different were what stood out in a lot of ways. Like, that middle section was just fucking awesome. Like, oh, that was some spooky shit, son. But afterwards, it just feels like another generic 21st century kind of weak film, horror film. And because of that, I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5.
Nice.
I would recommend seeing it in the big screen because, I mean, it does have its moments of coolness, and if you want to be a little spooked, a little lighthearted spookiness, then this is the place to, you know, go see it.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna put my recommendation at the start of my final thoughts. You know, change it up a little bit because I agree. I think it should. It's worth seeing on a big screen, and I actually quite enjoyed it in 3D. They didn't exploit it as much as I would have liked, but there were a few moments, like when that clown jumped out, and I think the drill came out at one point. Like that's what I want to see in a horror 3D, just like stupid shit coming out at my face.
Yeah, that's it.
And make me feel like I could get stabbed by that drill coming through the wall. So it did well with that. So if you do get a chance, you try and track it down in 3D. But even so, see it on a big screen because we don't really get horror films on the big screen that much anymore. And I still find them most enjoyable seeing with like a crowd. I try to go see him like on those Friday or Saturday nights when there's just a bunch of teenagers that are just going to shit themselves. Because I find pleasure in that.
You should have seen it with us then, because we were losing our minds.
I would have loved to. The first half of it is really cool. Like I said, I really enjoyed these characters. I really enjoyed Sam Rockwell. Like, I just thought he took this level, this movie to a whole new level, because without him in it, this would have just been another generic horror flick that I would have quickly forgot. But because he's in it, I'll remember a lot more of this than what I would have. But it, that scene that we keep bringing up, the middle scene with when Kendra's babysitting, is just fucking insane. Like, I love it. It's really good.
Awesome.
Like, the bit that got you the most is such a staple of horror movies, though. It's in every friggin' movie. Like, the jump scare, you turn around and there's some scary face there. That's how it goes. But that one was just really well done. And I just the whole setup to it. She walks in with her iPhone and then jumps. And I liked that something was coming out of the ground as well, because, you know, they're in a cemetery under this place. Like, to be honest, I really would have liked to seen more of that. And that's
more insight into that cemetery and stuff.
Yeah, more insight to the cemetery and more like poltergeist fucking moving shit around, and just because they obviously have the power to manifest things as well. I would have liked to seen that come into a little bit. It takes me back when A Nightmare on Elm Street got remade. I was super excited because the stuff, like, you haven't seen any of them, but the original Nightmare on Elm Street movies are also kind of dated, because the effects are so obviously effects. Whereas, you know, in this world of CGI and, you know, all the, you know, practical effects have come such a long way. There's so much more that filmmakers can do. So you can really set up like a nightmare world. And I didn't think Nightmare on Elm Street played with it enough. And I don't think Poltergeist did either, because they had such an opportunity to go. And yet most of the time it's just in front of the wardrobe with light coming out of it. Like, that's not scary. That's boring. It's not, like,
it is.
And so that's my most disappointing part of it, is that they just didn't exploit the effects that we have available to us now. Because when they did do it, it was so good. The tree was kind of a bit dodgy. The idea of the tree was better if they just maybe framed it differently.
It fucking terrifying.
Yeah, because the tree by itself, just outside the window hitting was fucking spooky, scary. Yeah. I really liked that. They dropped the ball a little bit there. But like I said, I don't know. I still quite enjoyed it. This is probably one of the better remakes that I've seen. I think it took what worked in the first one for the most part and incorporated that and successfully adapted it to our time now. If they'd played a little bit more on the, you know, the family in financial woe a bit more, that I think it would have really hit home. But I also really like movies and, like, especially horror films, but just any movie that's kind of set in a suburbia setting that feels relatable to me. Like, these are houses that we could live in. I just really liked how they did that. And it made it kind of scarier. Like, if I had a little sister or a daughter or something that was just in the room next door talking to somebody on the TV, that would scare the shit out of me. You know, like, stay away from the fucking TV.
And I think that's where this film suffers, because it's got that, like, oh my God, these are people, I'm a person, oh my God!
Yeah.
And then it kind of takes a turn when it introduces these different characters and takes away that sense of helplessness, like, you know, when it should really be exemplified, like, when you should feel even more hopeless, you know?
Yeah, to a certain extent, but I still felt that they were pretty, like, because in the end, like, let's face it, the parents do nothing because they can't do anything. So I got the feeling that they were helpless, but you're right, it takes away that the fear a little bit more, so, which you kind of need in a horror film. I give it a 3. Like I said, I've seen much worse. It just falls on its face a little bit in the middle. It picks up a little bit towards the end. At least it doesn't leave it on such a shitty note of the kid just going in and getting him. But I do want to commend that kid as well. At first, I wasn't sure if I liked him, Griffin, but I think I didn't like him because he was such a little bitch and he was playing it so well. Because later on in the film, when he kind of mans up a bit, I quite liked what he brought to the thing, even if he did have a giant head.
Yeah, he had a huge head. Fucking hell, what the fuck?
He's obviously going to grow into that. But yeah, 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5.
Nice, yeah. That's very David. One up above me.
No,
Very David of you, isn't it?
I feel like it's very David of me anyway. I've given so many threes this year. Fucking hell.
That's fucking ridiculous. It's actually pissing me off.
Yeah.
You get really upset about it. I've been pretty okay. And then I saw this and I'm like, fuck, it's another like fucking average movie. Like, I'm really disappointed, 2015. Come on. You have Star Wars and you're fucking it up. God damn, it's a fucking master plan. I think every movie we're going to see from now on is just fucking half-assed bullshit. So when Star Wars comes out, we're going to love it even more.
Yeah.
Disney, we know what you're doing. You put out Avengers 2, you try and fake it, it's shit. It's all a fucking scheme. 9/11 was an inside job. Fuck you. I know what's happening. Illuminati confirmed, you fucks. It's all to get us to like Star Wars more. I'm going to fucking, what are we watching? Fuck this. What are we watching next week?
Well, next week, there's 2 big movies coming out, so we're going to put it out to the listeners again. We're going to put it out to the listener vote because we've got a choice.
It's up to you, listeners.
We've got a choice between The Rock's new film, San Andreas, or George Clooney's new film, Tomorrowland.
Both look mediocre as shit. Sorry. I'm looking at like I'm trying to find the release schedule for 2015. And I'm just a little touchy right now because, you know.
Yeah.
That shit's out next week. Do you want to watch a fucking generic Disney film? Or a generic disaster film? Why don't you fucking tell us?
I think they both look kind of okay. I'm probably more swinging towards San Andreas myself just because of The Rock.
I just want to see some shit like crumble, man. Like, I want to see San Andreas too. No, we shouldn't have said that because now we're going to watch fucking
Tomorrowland. Definitely watching Tomorrowland. Well, it's up on our Facebook site at the moment. Go check us out. Search Fish and Connoisseur Movie Podcast on Facebook. Like that shit. Share it with your friends. Get in on the conversation. Did you like Poltergeist? Let us know. But also, just tell us which one you want to listen to next week because we kind of need to know that.
We really need to know. Man, this movie's a bullshit. Fucking Entourage is coming out. Awesome. Good for you, man. Jurassic World, cool. Big one. That's great. Inside Out looks okay. That's fine.
Inside Out looks awesome. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a Pixar film, but the rest, Ted 2, whatever. Magic Mike XXL, wow. I'm ecstatic. Terminator Genesis, I know you're keen, but fuck.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'm going to be here for that one.
I just, none of these are interesting. Paper Towns, is that a John Green novel? Mission Impossible, great. More franchise. Fantastic Four, awesome. Straight out of Compton.
Right? Oh, actually, I was going to bring up something about Fantastic Four. I saw a trailer before Poltergeist, and it actually looks kind of good.
It just looks like it's been given the same treatment every other superhero film has been getting. It's just darker.
I don't know. I think, The Thing actually looks like a fucking badass in that one, which I'm excited to see because he was shit in the originals.
There's a Goosebumps movie coming out.
Yeah, Jack Black's in it.
What?
Yeah.
All right, I'm excited for that. So this Steve Jobs is coming out. I'm pretty sure it's a David Fincher film.
Steve Jobs? Wasn't that a fucking...
There's a new one. No, that one was Jobs. I know, because every time I saw the title, I wanted to watch Blow, write Blow next to it. Oh, Peanuts movie's coming out. Spectre! Spectre's out!
Yeah.
All right, I'm excited. All right, it's good. Spectre's coming out this year.
There's some good shit coming out this year.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good year. Count them on one hand, okay? I'm pissed.
No, well, I'm the opposite. I think most of the stuff coming out is pretty good.
Mad Max, Star Wars, Spectre.
Yeah, but that's because you have no soul, so that's all good. But I'm like, Jurassic World. Jurassic World, Star Wars, Terminator, Mad Max was one. Yeah, Avengers was one.
You were excited for RoboCop when that came out, and that was a shit fucking film, man.
No, well, the thing is, I wasn't that excited for it, but when I saw it, I realized how brilliant it was.
You need to shut your whore mouth, is what you need to do. You need to shut it right now. You're hurting my feelings.
I think we need to shut this because I'm just going to get angry at you.
Yeah, all right.
But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah, get on our Facebook, vote on that shit, and we will see you next week.
Fuck you all! Play the music, fish.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. Fish and Connoisseur a Movie does not own any rights to the film Poltergeist, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track TV Set is performed by Spoon. I'm